For members only. Golf Smarter number 240 for July something or other, 2010.
SmarterPodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.
More insights on golf products with the Golf Junkies.
This is Golf Smarter. Sharing tips and insights from golfers and golf professionals to help lower your score. It's worked for your host, Fred Green.
Welcome back to the Golf Smarter Podcast, Junkies. CB Maxwell, are you with us?
I am here.
It's good to have you back. And Brad Cochran, hello again.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for bailing me out on my vacation. I'm somewhere in Boston right now. And but we are going to publish. Hopefully this show will get published if GoToMyPC works, because I've set up an account on GoToMyPC.com where I can log into my computer from somewhere in Boston and publish this show. So if you're hearing this show, then it's a testimony to GoToMyPC.com, and they're not sponsoring us, but it is a good testimony. Let's talk about websites, since we've just talked about GoToMyPC. You guys have a website called GolfJunkies.com, and when people go to it, make sure that you spell it JUNKYS.com, correct?
That's right.
Okay.
We got videos there. We got blogs there. We have the entire Tiger saga forever ensconced with the play-by-play, blow-by-blow, and I don't mean that in a bad way.
Hey. Well, it's a members-only show, so it's not necessarily a family show. Although I did say something. I got a little loose on one of the shows, you know, because I figure, hey, they're paying to listen to it. I can be a little looser on the language. And I got an email from a listener in Slovakia saying, my seven-year-old was in the car when you said that. Now I had to explain what you were talking about. Don't do that anymore.
Oh, my goodness. That's crazy.
I'm sorry. Sorry, Stefan.
You know, Fred, last week when we were talking with Brad, one of the things, and we were talking about new companies and their chances of success in golf, one of the things that we didn't get to talk about, and I really wanted Brad to highlight this, is he had a tremendous success at getting nationwide tour players, I think he was up to 30 at one point in time, to use his pinfire putter. And I think it would be instructive for all those people out there that are thinking about getting in the golf business of how important it is to be on tour with professionals and at the same time how difficult it is to keep them. So, Brad, I know you got stories upon stories, including Ricky Fowler is one of your buddies. When did you first play Ricky Fowler?
I played against Ricky when Ricky was like 13, 14 years old.
Really?
That's when I knew I couldn't make the tour because the kid would beat me at 14 years old.
And how old were you?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. I had to be like 26.
Oh, really? I mean, you had 10, 12 years on him, and he still beat the pants off you.
And he beat the pants off everyone. It didn't. I mean, I was obviously longer than him at the time, but, I mean, the kid, I mean, he shot 64, 65 on me. It's ridiculous. That's when I knew I didn't have enough to make tour because the kid was beating me.
Oh, so yeah. Tell stories about getting tour players and wannabe tour. Well, they're not wannabe. Nationwide is a valid tour. It's not the PGA Tour, but it's the next level down. How do you get equipment into those guys' hands, and you're not paying them to use the equipment? Is that correct?
Well, yeah. They just have to like the product. I mean, I had a buddy out there. First, we didn't start on a nationwide tour though. We started on a Canadian tour.
Okay.
And the Canadian tour went so well for us that at one time we had 54% of the Canadian tour using the putter. So basically every foursome that you walked into, I mean, we had the putter. So then we wanted to take it to the next level. I mean, we got some TV because back, I think Canadian tour was on TV sometimes because like when Stewart won and all these people won. But then we transferred all our efforts to the nationwide tour because PGA Tour, for a smaller company, you got to leave yourself away from there anyway because you got to buy them. So on the nationwide tour, you would still have, I mean, people still had the opportunities to make money by using a putter or whatever, but then if the difference between mine, I mean, they picked it up, they liked it, they used it, and we got wins on the tour. We had, I forget the number of nationwide tour guys, I think we had like 30, something like that. But the one bad thing about that whole experience is that we helped these guys get to a certain point to where they won, they finished top 25, they went on their next step to the PGA Tour. The minute they finish top 25, they're hounded by the top companies. Your club gets thrown back in the gutter. You start all over at the nationwide level. So it's a tough, tough thing to get ever into the hands of a PGA, to ever get in the hands of any PGA Tour player without paying them to play it. Because frankly, I mean, I wouldn't turn it down either. So I never had one problem with anyone switching over, because if you're not paying that person $50,000 to $100,000 a year to use that, or giving them $2,000 a tournament, I mean, who would anyone turn that down? I wouldn't turn it down. I'd switch too.
Who are some of the guys you had, Brad, that have moved on to the PGA that were successful? What's that?
I don't really want to mention it. I mean, there's a few. There's like Steve Marino, and I just don't want to get into too many names.
No, I can respect that. But I'm really curious to know that the importance of getting this stuff in their hands. Here's my issue with that, is that it's so hard for the smaller guys to get noticed if they don't get it in the hands of players, and yet the product that they're developing generally will be great for the mid to high handicap player versus the stuff that, you know, these guys who are playing on the tour, they're not going to be looking for that kind of stuff that is game correction kind of stuff. You know what I'm saying? I mean, am I expressing this properly?
I'll give you a good example of that. 2 years ago, KJ Choi, late in the year, showed up at a tournament playing this big fat grip, and everybody in the TV stands was going, "Wow, what's that big fat grip?"
Yeah, exactly.
I was actually working with that company at the time. That win propelled that company from selling four figures of putters a month to five figures a month. It was an instantaneous catapult forward.
Wow.
And they ended up selling well in excess of 100,000 units over a 12-month period. They signed KJ Choi for a modest amount by PGA standards. He had actually bought the damn thing off of an infomercial, practiced with it at home before.
Really?
He was embarrassed to bring it out on tour. He knew he was going to be razzed by the guys, which he was, but he putted so much better with it. I mean, he improved his putting stats by, it was a lot, let's put it that way. It was 2 to 3 strokes per tournament. So it worked. It was one of those things where it absolutely worked, and then that company actually did not stay in business. They sold the company to Tiger Shark, which already had a jumbo-sized grip, and so now Tiger Shark is the number one, big grip company out there. But the big grip is another innovation that absolutely works. It reduces the tension in your hands. It squares you up. But anybody that's even approaching having the yips should consider making that change. So
There you go. You talk about the yips. Now, that's what most golfers are going to contend with. 95% of golfers are going to contend with something like that you'll never see on the tour. And just because it works for Phil or it works for Ernie or I don't even want to bring up Tiger, if it works for those guys, it doesn't mean it's going to help us. So why are we so influenced by that? I hate it. I know it's part of life, but I just don't think it's right.
Well, the longer you play and the more pressure you play under as a regular habit, the more likely you are, as soon as you get past 40, to get the yips. And I think that one of my associates near the tour tells me at least half of the guys on the tour are battling with it at some level or another. I mean, what's been your experience out there, Brad, with Greg and the guys? Doesn't everybody fight nerves on the greens?
Oh, everyone fights. Everyone goes through the yips. I mean, you don't even have to get to the age of 40. I mean, every single person. I mean, I had them, I think, at like 24, 25 years old. So, I mean, everyone gets them. The difference between what you guys see on tour and what you don't see at home is that those guys are putting on 14. I mean, they don't have to take the putter back as far as we do. They don't have to hit it as hard as we do. They just have to get it started on the right line, and they're pretty much good to go. I mean, we have to whack the ball because we're playing on nines, and if we're lucky, we're playing on double digits on the snap. And it's not – that's why I don't think you see – the yips too much out of those guys, why they have it, but you're just not going to see it, because they're just on perfect surfaces every single week.
Yeah.
But that influences the people. I mean, you see a guy like Zach Johnson. I mean, Seymour Putters was basically, I think, going down after Payne Stewart. And then Zach wins the U.S. or the Masters with the Seymour Putter. I don't even think they kept up with the sales. That's how heavily influenced the tour is on product.
Yeah.
Well, you have to get it in those guys' hands. And the smaller company, they run into a hard decision. Okay, if you have that guy out on the PGA Tour and he wins, can you even keep up with the amount of inventory you're going to need because he won? And you can't plan for him to win because how do you know if you're going to win a PGA event? But if the guy wins, you have to all of a sudden get these 5,000-10,000 putters in stock right away to keep up with the demand.
Wow.
That's why it's so hard for little companies to go to the next level because of that reason. Unless you have a lot of money behind you, you have a lot of inventory, which is not the right thing to do, but some people do it and they succeed. Some people do it and they fail. It's just a chance. You're just living off hope.
And you can't prepare for, and you're right, you cannot prepare for, a manufacturer cannot prepare because who knows if the guy's going to win or not. And if you think the guy's going to win, you probably have so much money, you have so many resources behind it that you can afford to, you know, keep your supply chain in motion like that, and it's no problem.
Well, yeah. It's interesting you mentioned that because, again, people go into the equipment side of golf because they think that that's where the money is. But when you look at the numbers for the big companies like Callaway, Nike, Ping, et cetera, I don't think their equipment side is profitable. What is profitable is golf balls, which are a renewable resource to get lost and worn out, and shoes and shirts. I mean, the cost, what's the hard cost of these freaking golf shirts there, Brad? I mean, it's less than $20, right?
Well, I mean, even as far as the best driver you're ever going to play in your life is less than that.
Really? Are you telling me that's the R&D? But really, if their R&D budget is $1 million, isn't the advertising budget on that product $5 million?
Absolutely.
Oh, easy, yeah.
Yeah, but my point being that it's a lot harder to make a profit for a small manufacturer who isn't selling the renewable goods, and that's really where the profitability is for these companies. And that's what makes, you know, for these companies to come to the table and they go, well, okay, I got a $50 cost on a product and I'm going to try to get it into a retailer's hand for $100 and then I'm going to try to get the retailer to sell it for $200. I mean, it's a stretch for the little company. And that's what makes the internet such an interesting proposition. And like we were talking about last week with the folks at Blackmagic, here you have a small family-owned business with a great design and a great product, and they were just getting killed, you know. As much as we love the golf magazines, what you don't see golf manufacturers in them very much. What you see is liquor ads, drug ads, watches, cars, insurance companies. You don't see golf companies, not little ones, that's for sure. They just can't afford it, and there's no return on the investment.
Oh, and when I would think that a small manufacturer is also saying, okay, it costs me this much for my marketing, it costs me this much for my R&D, it costs me this much to manufacture, so I need to be profitable with this. I need to sell this hybrid at $250. Well, you can't put a hybrid on the market for $250, right?
Nope.
You have to, it's almost dictated on what you can sell it for. If you come in at over $129, you're dead. Or
well,
even more, less than that.
You know, you can tell the value of any given product sold in golf by simply going to eBay, typing in that product, and you will find out how much excess inventory is out there. And I can tell you there's always, always a boatload.
Oh, wait a minute. No. Pursue that a little further. Tell me more. What do you mean by this?
What happens is that the manufacturers manufacture X amount of product at the beginning of the year. They take their orders at the PGA show, and then, bingo, by August, I guarantee you that everybody's oversold. They've got too much inventory. They can't get rid of it, and they go to wherever they can to unload it, including eBay. And so you'll see a TaylorMade. In fact, I don't know if anybody's online right now, but go to eBay and check out what the TaylorMade R9 is. Whatever the heck the new latest is. I can guarantee you, you'll find it there for around, $100.
Not $100 less than you'll find in your local retailer. You're saying $100. This is like a driver that they probably get $400 for.
Now, I might be off by a dollar or two, but I can almost guarantee you. In fact, I'll go check while we're chatting here. But and we were just talking about Seymour. It's interesting because when Zach did win that company had just gone through an ownership change. And they had in stock like 2,000 units of the putter that Payne Stewart won with. And they sold out of those. I mean, all of a sudden that company came roaring back under the new management, which I don't like, by the way, but that's just me. But they used his name without his permission.
Wow.
Yeah.
Who? You mean Payne Stewart?
No, Zach.
Oh, Zach. Yeah.
Yeah. Zach, you know, they didn't pay him a nickel because he's been playing with that putter since college.
Huh.
And he just won't give it up.
Well, Zach's a different breed. Zach, if you look at Zach's hat's the same hat company that supported Zach through his tough times. So Zach has now made it big where he's a great player, so he wants to give back to all these smaller companies. Seymour couldn't pay Zach anything, but he knew that Seymour got him to the point where he's at, so he continues to use Seymour to help that company out, not to take any money. He's a different breed. He's one of the most genuine people out on tour because of that. Yeah. I mean, usually people will jump to the money. Zach doesn't jump to the money. Zach just he figures, okay, these people helped me get up in life. I'm going to continue to help them until my career is done. And that's what he's went by. And he's not making a bad living up there.
Now on golfjunkies.com, what is your primary focus? Are you guys looking at reviewing new gear? Are you looking at exposing products out there? Or are you also, and I apologize for asking multiple questions at once, but are you going after the big boys and saying, you know what, the product they just put out is a piece of junk? Why are you both laughing?
Well, that's part of my job when I go to the show at the PGA show is I go, you know, I have my little invisible black doomed sticker when I walk by a booth and see a piece of junk. Oh, God. Go ahead, Brad.
No, but hey, Golf Junkies is just to give the little guys the benefit. That's all it is. It's just to give them a little bit more exposure, review their product. If their product works, you do the review. If their product doesn't work, you do the review. It was always built on my way because when I was with Pinfire, I'd have the same exact thing. So I would be trying to spread it around on the internet, and these people are wanting thousands and thousands of dollars to advertise on their website, and I couldn't understand. Just to talk on a forum and talk to people that mentioned your name, if you go in there and talk about your product, you sometimes get banned from the entire website. Wow. Well, I leave mine open to anyone. You can come in. It doesn't make a difference who you are. You're small. I mean, the big companies, I wouldn't let do that because they do fine. So help out the smaller companies if they want to talk about their product, and if I can sell product for them, I'm happy because it's giving them a shot because I know how hard it is to make it in the industry. You know what I mean?
So you're Robin Hood for golf.
That's what I like to call myself.
No, but so there are a lot of small manufacturers that will never get noticed, and you're just giving them the vehicle of telling it like it is. You're very honest about what you're doing, and if you can do some business deals with them as well. But your business deals are not going to be dictated by whether you're not going to change your opinion on this based on if you can do some business with them. I don't get that sense about you.
No, I wouldn't. I mean, the basis of the website, like if someone has a banner, if someone's paying to be on my website, I help them more internally with their company because I see most of these small companies making the mistakes that I made before. So I have the experience to show them, like, hey, don't spend your money the way you guys are spending it. Spend it this way. And that's how we've evolved of trying to help out the smaller companies, to show them where to spend their money and to spend it wisely instead of doing what they do. I mean, it's like CB said, these people are going and putting all these ads in magazines and spending all this money you can't figure out who the heck is coming from where or what ad is working because there's no way to target it. The internet, I mean, you see exactly what city they're coming from. You see exactly what ad works. You see every single thing, and that's the huge benefit, obviously, of the internet.
Well,
okay, I'm here on eBay. TaylorMade R9 driver, 7 bids, 29 minutes left. It's $138.
And what is it retailing for at Golfsmith, for instance, a big one?
What's that?
If it's a new one, it's $399.
There you go.
Well, there you go, folks.
$138.
So,
eBay.
But then it's almost like buying off the rack. Okay, so you've been fitted. You've tried out different things, different drivers, and your golf fitter has told you, you know what, the TaylorMade R9 driver, it will work for you. That's a good driver for you. But still, buying it off eBay, every single one is going to be different. Don't you want to hit it? You're just taking a chance. Hey, it's only $129, big deal, right?
You're taking the chance.
It's a gamble. It's always a gamble.
Yeah.
Well, you know, interesting. Now, I want to go ahead.
What's to say that product that you bought off eBay, when you get it, it looks pretty in pictures,
yeah,
but when you get it home, it could be 2 degrees shut.
Right.
Or it could be four. I mean, it could be just a whole host of things that it doesn't work. And that's like a lot of off the rack stuff. But with TaylorMade, I mean, that's why TaylorMade's so discounted. I mean, they come out with a new product every 6 months. I mean, that company is unbelievable. I have no idea how they stay in business, but they do because they come out with everyone wants the latest and greatest. Like me, I'll never get rid of my TaylorMade driver. But I have an R7 425, and I think that's, 4 years old? And when I crack them or stuff, I have to call TaylorMade department. They got to go under the boxes to try to find me a new R7. I mean, because they come out with so many, but that's like their hottest and best driver. I mean, not to promote them or anything, but it's literally the best driver on the entire market is an R7 425. But I can't get into their new stuff.
Yeah. Well, then let's talk.
They don't need any.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, CD.
I was just going to say, they don't need any plugs.
No, they really don't. Not from us. But some of these other folks do, and it's interesting. I'm on golfjunkies.com again, and you have your blog, you have reviews, you have a latest article, you have leaderboard. You know, lots of information here for people to check out, and they really should, because there's really a wealth of information. But you have the results of your 2010 putter test. Now, talk to me about when you do a putter test. Tell me the process of what it is about doing a test and what you're comparing and how you get your results.
That was one of the worst mistakes of my entire lifetime.
I'm glad I asked.
That was the worst mistake I've ever done. I was thinking about, because I didn't like the way other companies tested putters. I didn't like the fact that they, a lot like Golf Digest, they go off of the cost, they go off of, like, do you know this company and stuff like that? And, like, again, the smaller companies get screwed because if they don't rank high in that, they're not going to even rank on the Golf Digest hot list. But with mine, like, I gave everyone the opportunity. I mean, you see the professional test is up there, which I forget how many people was in. It was like 80-something for the professional. We had over 800 people for the entire test.
Oh, my God.
And they were doing three putts from each distance. And out of almost 900 people, I had one guy make every single putt, three from 5, three from 15, three from 30. And then I gave him that putter because no one else has done it. So here you go. You pick fruit putter. But that's basically all I did. So I did it off of the feel, the look, and the overall score of what you did and how many you made. And I sat there and I did this, and I'm not kidding you, it took me a month and a half to tally up the results off all that paper. It was the first mistake of my life. I probably took like 100 and some odd hours to pull off that test. And, yeah.
And so, but you can't base the results on one guy having success, right? I mean, how do you come up with results of what you consider the best putter?
That's what I'm saying. The look, the feel, when I graded it on a 1 to 5, 1 to 10 basis on certain aspects of it, the highest ranking putters with the amount of putts made, that's how I came to all the conclusion of who finished number one.
In other words, each person that participated in the test turned in a sheet on their view of it, and then also the performance on their putts. And then Brad, what he's saying is he had to compile all that by hand.
You're not going to do that all that soon again.
Oh, and even, so I'm not going to, because I did that over a four-week period of time. And I think I skipped a week, so maybe it was like 4 to 6 week period of time. And it was just, it was an absolute nightmare. But I thought I got great results. I mean, the putters that finished in the top 10 of the amateur is not posted, but maybe when someone hears it. But the professional test, I mean, it just all came, it worked out perfectly. I mean, the best putter won.
Well, what do you mean the professional test? You had pros testing these as well?
I had pros from I didn't consider a pro one handicap. So anyone scratch, which I have 50 some odd friends that are scratch or better. So I had them participate in the test, cool. And then I had people that I didn't even know that were just out there, but we knew that they were good players, and we asked them to participate in the test, and that's how it came about of getting. Because it's hard to find guys that are going to take the time to sit there and write on sheets of paper and all that kind of stuff, and
sure.
Putters are disappearing. Ah, it was a nightmare. If I do another one, that I'll probably just limit it to maybe 100 people, because doing what I did was just taking it to a whole nother level.
Well, listen, we'll learn from our experience.
Yeah.
And if you need another R7 425, there's one on eBay here for $76.
Now, who's selling that, though? Is that a brand new club? And can you customize your that you can't customize your specs on it? And we don't know, is that coming from TaylorMade or is it coming from a retailer? Do we know where that's?
Typically, these are going to be coming from retailers that have seller info. Let's see, 100% positive feedback. It looks brand new to me. Oh, yeah, he's got way too much product on his hands. He's got some Volkis here for, $10 for a Volki. Adam's Insight, $20. We've got a Scotty Cameron design number 2. He's selling for $81. So he's
are you advocating to use eBay to buy golf equipment?
I'm just saying.
Because these prices cannot be beat anywhere else on the web.
Well, no, I'm just pointing out that, the power of the web is it tells us what the real value of products is.
Interesting.
And
I don't think an R9 value is what that guy sets the price at. I think it's more than that. I mean, you can go all day and you can buy. I mean, that thing's probably been hit and it's probably rated as, they'll say, a 9 out of 10 condition. You're going to get it. It's going to be a 7 out of 10. I wouldn't promote anybody to buy anything off eBay and golf equipment. You can go down. You can support Roger Dunn, Nevada Bobs, all those guys, and you can go down. I mean, they got barrels, and it's cheaper. Just trade in your old driver, and you trade in your old driver, then you pick up a new driver for 100 and something bucks. You know?
Oh, yeah. I think it's you can negotiate at the local shops for sure.
Yeah.
Interesting. So, well, but, I just want to say that in your review section here at golfjunkies.com, it's not just putters. You have reviews on iPhone golf apps. I thought was interesting. And even you look at different balls as well and wedges. So you look at a lot of different – you're reviewing a lot of different things, but you're not just looking at the ones that are advertising on your website. Where in magazines that do reviews, they sell a lot of advertising to coincide with those tests, correct?
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay.
No, go ahead.
Go ahead, Brad.
Yeah, I do reviews based on the amount of emails that I get. Hmm. Like, I got a huge, so many emails for me to do the Medica stuff. And then I called the company to try to get that done for the user. So everyone that emails me, even if I only get emailed once, I try to fulfill that guy's the review. He likes the way that I do reviews or write reviews or do video reviews. So I'm going to go out of my way to call that company and say, I got interest in your product and I want to review it. I mean, that you go as far as, I mean, not to mention all the people's names, but it's like Bushnell. I had a numerous amount of things for Bushnell. And then they sent me a product for review, which is going to be on the site in the next day or so. But that's how I come down to do my reviews. I don't just do reviews on people that advertise on the site. I'll just do what the general public that go to my website want reviewed before maybe they make the decision to go out and buy. Because it's going to be an unbiased review. I'm not getting any money from them, so everything's unbiased. So.
Yeah. Well, I want to remind everybody that we are doing a promotion with you guys where we're giving away. We talked a lot in the last episode about the Black Magic Wedges. And we are going to give one away. And even though this is a members-only episode, I remind each listener that they are automatically entered into this drawing. And if they would like to increase their chances of winning again, I will allow Golf Smarter members to enter twice. And the dog can enter, too. The dog is no problem. The dog can enter the contest as well.
He's excited about that.
So Golf Smarter members can enter a second time, and their name will be in there twice. And we will be giving away a Black Magic Wedge. And please go to our Facebook page, go to golfjunkies.com, go to golfsmarter.com, check out Brad's video about the Black Magic Wedge. You'll be blown away of the success that he had with of hitting this club. And when you win, you'll get a choice of right or left-handed, and you'll have a selection of different lofts that you can pick from to take home with you when you win it. But also, click on the Black Magic Wedge banner at the top of the contest page at golfsmarter.com and go check it out for yourself. Go see what they have to offer and buy one. They're not that expensive. They're really worth checking into. And as an added bonus, and I got clearance from Brad on this one, I have just, while we were talking, I randomly selected a name of a Golf Smarter member, and we are going to give away, here you go, this is the benefit of being a member, I'm giving away a wedge, a Black Magic Wedge, to a winner. Congratulations, Candace Birkenhauer of Brielle, New Jersey, you have just won a Black Magic Wedge. So you
go,
can
Candace.
Way to go. Awesome. That's because you're a member. But you could still enter and win more. Don't count on it. I know it's a random drawing, but don't count on winning again. But anyway, congratulations, Candace. And again, that's the benefit of being a member to Golf Smarter podcast. And we thank you for your continued support. Hey, guys, this was a lot of fun. I hope we find ways to have you come back and talk more about what's going on at golfjunkies.com, what new products are coming out that we'll never get to see on the Golf Channel because they won't be able to afford the advertising, but you think is a great product to have. And definitely worth looking at. Brad Cochran, thank you so much for the interesting video and for your time, and CB Maxwell. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Hey, it was a pleasure being here.
If you have any questions, comments, or suggestions, please click on the Hey Fred button at golfsmarter.com.
Smarterpodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.